Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're back in the friendly confines of our Lambeau Field studios after the on-location episode from the streets of Philadelphia. But Wes, after a long month here, we finally have a Packers victory to talk about, 27-13 on Monday Night Football over the Eagles. And boy, this one, just flat out, it starts with an incredibly efficient performance on offense.
It does, Mike. And I go back to last week, and we were doing a segment for the website that we do called Final Thoughts. And Mike Spofford, right over in that spot, said his player to watch was Aaron Rodgers. And while that might have been, might go without saying.
Yeah, the stating the obvious line, but yeah.
But I thought Rodgers put together, he's had a lot of monumental performances in his career, but given the time in which the Packers needed this, and as Rodgers said in his post-game news conference, I mean, the difference between 4-7 and 5-6 is huge.
Yeah.
So to come out and be able to establish that momentum early on in that rhythm, we've seen the Packers do it this year. It was earlier in the season, but we've seen them be able to get some points off that initial drive. But, you know, the Eagles win the coin toss. They defer. They put the pressure on the Packers to score, and Aaron Rodgers responded. A really full, well-orchestrated attack, and obviously was engineered by the two-time MVP.
Yeah, the first time the Packers have scored a touchdown on their opening drive since the Atlanta game, yeah, which was the first game of the four-game losing streak. And from there, really, it was interesting because the game kind of evolved into a ball control type of thing. Both teams moving the ball, chewing up clock. The Packers even killed about half of the second quarter,
yeah,
on a drive that barely crossed midfield, and they ended up having to punt. It was just one of these games where possessions were at a minimum. The Packers ended up having the ball only eight times, but really only six times because two of those were kneel downs. You score three touchdowns and two field goals five times in those six possessions, it doesn't get much better than that.
It really doesn't, Mike. And to be able to establish that consistency without really having like a big game-breaking run either. I mean, a lot of this was just quick, on-time passes. You know, Rodgers finding the hot read and in the offensive line and the instances in which Rodgers needed to escape the pocket, giving him the ample amount of time he needed to find somebody downfield. But along the way, Mike, we talk about the Packers needing big plays in all three phases. Offensively, when you look at the throws that he made to Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson and the downfield attack that they had, I don't know, at least I can't remember the last time I've seen Rodgers that accurate. He's an accurate quarterback, but yeah. I mean, everything was just on a dime, and that went a long way to the Packers being able to continue those drives and really have those game-breaking type of opportunities.
Yeah, give him credit, too. The opening series of the second half, he ends up injuring his hamstring, yeah, when he's scrambling and kind of gets tripped up there as he's escaping the pocket, and ended up playing the rest of the game dealing with that hamstring, disappeared into the medical tent, which sort of became a story of its own as to what exactly that was all about on the sideline. But he joked after the game, he's like, hey, I just needed some privacy. I had to drop the drawers a little bit to get my hamstring taped up.
It's amazing to me what people pick up.
Oh, and they get fixated on those things. It's incredible.
And I love Rodgers' comment afterwards. He's like, as soon as I came out of the tent and I saw the camera right there in my face, I'm like, oh, this is, you know, something.
There's a story here.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And we've seen that tent for years. It's just that the MVP quarterback isn't always the one going into it. When it's John Kuhn or somebody, you know, that's more of a role player walking in there, nobody notices. But
yeah,
whatever the case may be, and Rodgers being able to, we've seen this. We saw it in 2014. If he has to be in the pocket, he can make that work. The one thing with that hamstring, it seemed like it didn't inhibit him too much from his downfield throws. He was still able to step into a lot of stuff. And that final pass, I mean, there's a lot of passes you and I can dissect, but going and needing to get that four-minute offense, trying to run out the clock, he finds Jordy Nelson alongside the sideline, classic back shoulder throw,
yep,
right on the money. And Nelson was asked afterwards if he pushed off a little bit, and he's like, it doesn't matter. It was that kind of game. He felt like, you know, he needed to get that's what he needed to do, and he picked up the ball and the Packers were able to run this thing out.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll see going forward how much that hamstring affects Rodgers. We saw the Packers go to that, sort of that pistol formation with a little bit shorter shotgun. Rodgers able to do both the handoffs and run the pass plays from there, which is really what they developed in 2014 when he had the calf injury. So we'll see if that needs to become part of the offense going forward as the hamstring heals.
Yeah, an effective package. I mean, that's the thing. If you go back to 14, and they used it at times even before he tweaked that calf, and it was something where it really, especially when Eddie Lacy was in there, it was really effective for them. He could run well out of it. And now, I mean, they have to make some adjustments with some of the situation and personnel that they have. But Rodgers is comfortable in so many different ways. And the mixing and matching of personnel groups in this game, I thought, was also a really important storyline. The full house backfield, using all the weapons and to the best of their abilities. They really mixed things up offensively, and I think that went a long way to them being able to kind of keep the Eagles on their toes throughout.
Yeah, for sure. Well, plenty more to break down on this Monday night football victory from Philadelphia. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, getting back to this efficient performance the Packers had on offense, it really starts with third down conversions.
Yeah.
10 out of 14 for the game on third down. The Packers started 6-for-6 on their first two touchdown drives to open things to take that 14-7 lead. And really, when you look at it from a down-by-down basis, it started out with a lot of third and ones, third and twos, third and fours, and you could see the confidence, the momentum building on third down to then where when it got to the fourth quarter, third and 10, the deep post to Devontae Adams that got the ball down near the goal line, then third and 12 on that last long drive in the fourth quarter for the field goal. Jordy Nelson's wide open over the middle on a bit of an extended play. So then they start converting the third and longs at the end of the game, and it turns out you have an offensive performance that you just like in all facets.
Absolutely, and it was cool in how the Packers were able to do it, because in the opening, the first half, a lot of it was short conversions, keeping things manageable and people finding the sticks. I mean, Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams are the two guys that really jump off the page statistically.
Yeah.
But I thought Randall Cobb had just as big of a role in terms of getting this offense going early on with some of the short and intermediate stuff and just being able to get the offense in a rhythm when maybe you aren't always having the 6 or 7 yard carry on first down. And something that was interesting too, Nelson talked about this on that particular, 23 yards that Nelson had that was in the middle of the field, that reception.
Yeah, 22, I think it was, but yeah.
He actually said that a lot of that had to do with Jared Cook. Now, Cook only had one catch for 7 yards in this game, but he said Cook going down deep in the seam, drawing those safeties out, that's what allowed him to find that soft cushion in the secondary, and then, really was basically standing flat-footed waiting for the ball when Rodgers finally found him and being able to convert that. So it was a lot of perfect elements coming together for the Packers offense in this game, with the offensive line giving them time, the receivers gaining separation, and really everybody working off each other to find the best matchups to keep the offense in that rhythm.
Yeah, for sure. Give the offensive line some credit, because that's an Eagles defensive front. We had talked about it all last week. It's a pretty formidable front. Philadelphia was 4-0 at home this season. They hadn't allowed an opponent to score more than 15 points at the Link this year, and the Packers go in there and put up 27. Rodgers has 39 pass attempts. He's not sacked. Jason Spriggs, a rookie, steps in to start at right guard. I thought the two tackles, Bakhtiari and Bulaga, for the Packers, I thought they were outstanding all night long, including Bakhtiari getting the offside call there on that third and five in the fourth quarter that got that long drive started. He Brandon Graham jumped and Bakhtiari then came out of his stance very smartly, in my opinion, to get that 5 yards for the first down. The offensive line really, really played a solid game, and they've been dealing with some injuries and some shuffling around, but they've really held it together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that was a great play by Bakhtiari, doing a good job in terms of where they really were messing up Philadelphia in terms of how they wanted to rush their guys. You could tell that they weren't in a rhythm. Brian Bulaga is having a fantastic season.
Yeah, no question.
Over at right tackle. I mean, there's really been very little pressure coming from that right side all year. Jason Spriggs really playing C at right guard after the Don Barclay shoulder injury last week. He steps in, holds his own, and then Corey Linsley, what can you say about him? I mean, this is a guy that didn't have a training camp, hadn't played up until 3 weeks ago since January, and he's been able to jump right in there and help the offense function. So you give them credit. I think they really played into that third down conversion. I heard somewhere that that was actually the highest third down conversion ratio of, I think, any team this season.
That was mentioned by a national reporter in Rodgers' press conference after the game, that it was the highest percentage any team had had in the league all season long, which is really pretty remarkable if it's true. I didn't check it.
I mean, 71% is a really high percentage.
70%. You can win a lot of games converting 70% on third down.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing I want to just touch on really quickly, too, we did mention, obviously, the production of Davante Adams, his 400-yard game of the season. Jordy Nelson goes over 90 yards again, I think, for like the eighth time this year. But both of those guys making really important catches, not only just for themselves in this offense, but just being able to show that those kind of plays, they're going to put those on film, they're going to have to account for them. I mean, you look at that reception that Adams had on the 20-yard touchdown pass. He said in the locker room afterwards he didn't even really see where the ball was because of the lights at the link. And it just falls right in there. Another example of Rodgers putting it right where it needs to be. And kudos to Adams, too, for not giving up on the play. He made, you know, he only had five catches in the game, but it seemed like each one of them, it was a tight, contested catch.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned this was his fourth 100-yard game of the season. We've had him, we've seen him have some very productive games throughout the season. I personally thought this was the best game of his career. Yeah. I thought he was really a standout player in this game with the catches he was making, the yards after catch he was getting on a couple of plays, the 50-yard bomb down the sideline after HaHa Clinton Dix's interception. That was a tremendous throw, but a great over-the-shoulder catch at a tough angle there to haul that in with the cornerback kind of right on his hip there. I thought Adams just played a fantastic game. We're really seeing his development in the third year. I think what a lot of people were hoping to see in his second year, but he wasn't healthy. Now that he's been healthy his third year, where he's just leaps and bounds ahead of where he was a year ago.
Well, and Jordy Nelson was asked in the locker room afterwards, how important do you think there's a game like this is for Devontae? And he's like, you know, we probably need to stop that. He's making one play after another each week. He's making something happen. This isn't about a young man building confidence. I mean, it never has been. He's always been a confident player.
Right.
This is about a guy that's becoming a significant playmaker on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And you've kind of seen it. And the fact that they've gotten this production from him through the wins, through the losses, it shows an even-keeled mindset, and it shows what he can really add to that perimeter and how they're using those guys this season. That was a big thing that was missing at times during these ruts that the Packers fell into, is getting that production by the boundary. He came through for them, and again, when you look at this Packers offense going forward, they have the weapons now. Everybody's here. The party can start, and I think over the last 2 weeks, now that James Starks and Jared Cook are in this offense, Aaron Rodgers can eat. He can really go at this thing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've got still plenty more to talk about from 27-13 here over the Philadelphia Eagles. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we'll turn our attention briefly here to the defense, which started out a little shaky with the Eagles marching right down the field on the opening possession, scoring a touchdown that tied the game at 7 at the time. The Eagles didn't even have to convert a third down on the drive. Every play was either first or second down. It was not the kind of start that you'd like to see from the defense, but at the end of the day, after that opening drive, all they allowed were two field goals. They got an interception. Clinton Dix had the pick on the opening drive of the second half. The defense really settled down and was able to take advantage of the limited number of possessions that really was created by the Packer offense controlling the football.
Yeah, Mike, and this is one of these games, too, where you want to talk about adversity in terms of trying to overcome really those challenging moments. I thought you saw that in the opening series of this game. I mean, Clay Matthews gets wiped out on that end around. He said he kind of banged up his AC joint, had to go to the locker room to make sure nothing was broken, got cleared, came back in. Well, until he was back in there, Morgan Burnett was playing inside linebacker because Jake Ryan and Blake Martinez, their starting inside backers, both were down going into this game. That was a really big moment, I thought, for the Packers early on. And when Matthews came back in the game, for him to step up and play inside linebacker again after really only brushing up on the terminology over the past week, that said a lot about him. And, hey, he got a sack out of it, too, one of four sacks that the Packers had in this contest. So for Matthews to go back inside, you know he wants to be an edge rusher. You know he wants to get after the quarterback. But he understood where the defense was at, and I thought that really did help them in being able to establish – really an identity again there defensively and get a few stops to kind of help them.
Yeah, the only unfortunate thing was after that tremendous punt by Jake Shum, which the Packers downed at the 1 yard line, you're really hoping there that you get the stop deep in Philadelphia territory, get the ball back to the offense that was rolling at the time, and you could potentially really extend the lead there before halftime. The Eagles were able to get out of the hole. They got a field goal there before half. But then in the second half, the Clinton Dix interception really seemed to change things. I think we were waiting for, with the Eagles kind of having a banged up perimeter group, you know, not being at full strength with their running backs and wide receivers, we were kind of waiting if maybe the rookie Carson Wentz, as good as he is, would make a mistake at some point. And when he overthrew tight end Zach Ertz deep down the middle, Clinton Dix was right there for an easy interception and really kind of turned the tide of the ballgame.
It really did. And that was one of those, when you say easy, I remember listening to Micah Hyde talk about this last week. He said, you know, I've been watching all these games and these replays of games. I mean, balls are getting batted up and guys are coming down with easy picks. That just hasn't been there for the Packers defense this year. Whatever you want to make of that, luck, not luck, whatever, those plays just haven't been there. Well, here was one where it was, you know, Wentz airmails over the top of the receiver. And Clinton Dix, give him credit for knowing where he needed to be. In a lot of ways, if he's not in the right spot, that just gets, you know, overthrown and just bounces down to the end zone and, you know, another set of downs.
Right.
But a really heady play by him, his third interception of the season. No asking Morgan Burnett about that in the locker room afterwards. I mean, he said that that was a big play for this defense. Just being able to know that, okay, we can get the interception, we can make those type of plays. I think after that you saw a group that played with a lot more confidence, didn't even give up 100 total yards the rest of the game. It just seemed like it was a Dom Capers defense that got back to doing what it does best.
Yeah, and I thought Clinton Dix had a chance to really make a big play on that and on the interception return. Yeah. It looked like he maybe had a lane there as he cut back to the right, and he just got tripped up by the shoelaces, or he might have gone a long way there and really changed the game. But then the Packer offense came out and boom, you know, Aaron Rodgers took the shot down the field. Adams hauls in the 50-yard catch. They kick a field goal, you know, converting the turnover into points. And really what it comes down – I mean, Wentz didn't make a whole lot of mistakes in this game. And it came down to the fact that the one time that he did and the one time the Packers had a shot at a turnover, they got it. And those are the types of things that have been happening in previous games where they didn't get their hands on the ball, or somebody doesn't quite catch it, or you don't quite knock the ball loose, whatever the case might be. They got their one chance against the Eagles, and they took advantage.
Absolutely, Mike. I want to throw in one shout-out, too. I mean, the pass rush, 8 hits in this game, 4 sacks. You get Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, Julius Peppers, and Mike Daniels all with the sack, good things are going
to
happen.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before we throw it to a break, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business. We all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. Wes, as we look at where the Packers stand now, as Aaron Rodgers mentioned, as you mentioned, the difference between 4-7 and 5-6 is enormous. And also now, at 5-6, the Packers one game behind the second place Vikings, who are 6-5, and 2 games behind the first place Lions at 7-4. Now, the Minnesota Vikings have to play Thursday night this week on the road at Dallas. The Cowboys obviously on a 10-game winning streak. The Lions, I believe, travel to New Orleans on Sunday as the Packers are going to host the Houston Texans. Not to say anything is ever a given in the NFL, but it's certainly the best case scenario and a highly possible scenario for the Packers to get through this next week and maybe only be one game out of the division race.
Yeah, and if I'm just being completely honest with you, if I'm an NFL team, I really don't want to play New Orleans, especially in New Orleans. You saw against the Rams exactly what they're capable of offensively.
They can light it up against anybody.
Yeah, defensively it's a crapshoot what they're going to be able to do, but offensively that group is still one of the best in the NFL. So that's going to be a test for the Lions, especially going down to their place. Minnesota, it goes without saying. Dallas is playing as well as any team in the NFL right now. And this is one of the reasons why. A lot of guys in the locker room after the game, this is a great win. They said, we're going to enjoy this for the next few hours, but they need to flush it quickly because this is go time. This was one. They need six, or at least as many of six as you can get.
Right.
So they understand the sense of urgency here. You need to take care of business these next 3 weeks. Then you get these division matchups to close things. But in terms of how the NFC North looks, we talked about it on yesterday in Philly. That's the scenario you wanted to play out. You probably wanted to see Detroit win if you're the Packers. Now, let's see where all the chips end up falling.
Yeah, for sure. You look at this game against Houston. If you're the Packers, you say, okay, win this one. Let's get to 6-6. Get back to the break-even point with four games to go and then see what the landscape looks like. I still think, based on what I see out there, the Packers' best path to the playoffs is to win the division. I think getting the wild card at this point, getting a wild card, is going to be more difficult. I think with the schedule the Lions have, and if the Packers can get hot with playing their own division opponents here down the stretch, just maybe they can put it together and make a run at the division title.
The Saints, Tampa Bay, there's a lot of teams that are trying to play from behind right now to make a playoff push, so you want to be able to make sure you take care of business in the division. That's been the go route for the Packers the last few years, is getting that dominance there, see what they can establish these last few weeks of the season.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.